today on Living on Every Word.
Listen, how many of you in this place know somebody and they're just, their life is full of chaos, full of worry, full of anxiety, full of stress? You say, I know that person. It's me. I've got the pit in my stomach. I've got anxiety about the future. I've got these things in my life. Well, guess what? If you're a believer in Christ, you have peace with God.
Though often elusive, peace is something you can have no matter what's going on around you. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses the first word Christ spoke to his disciples after resurrection in part one of Words of the Resurrected Christ.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to take the next couple of weeks and talk about the resurrected words of Jesus. The last few weeks we've been looking at portraits of resurrection. In the next couple of weeks we want to look at the words that Christ spoke after he was resurrected. I think they're very important because as Jesus was laid in that borrowed tomb and he died a sacrifice and is now alive and was alive on the third day, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 6 said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, all the apostles, and then he appeared to me. Jesus appeared. Jesus made himself known. And when Jesus appears and makes himself known, he speaks. He speaks. And so when Jesus is appearing in these 40 days, he is appearing to his followers and he is giving words of eternal life. That's what John 6:68 says when Peter said, Lord, there's no other place to go. You're the one who has the words of eternal life. And we need words of eternal life. We need to live on them. We need to hear them. We need to experience them. We need to speak of them to one another in fellowship. We need the words of Jesus. We need to hear them. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you see just some specific things that Jesus told his disciples that they just definitely needed to hear. And I look at these five things, and I want you to notice in verse 19 that when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23, "If you forgive sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." There are four words here that I want us to spend over the next couple of weeks together. They're words of life. The first word is peace. Peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, peace I give to you." The second word I want us to look at, and probably we'll not have time this morning, but we'll look at purpose. As the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. The third word we're going to look at is the word power. When the Bible says that he breathed the Holy Spirit upon them, and then he said, "Receive the Spirit." It is the power of the Spirit of God. And then in the fourth message, or hopefully in 3 weeks, we're going to look at the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. Four words of the resurrected Christ that I look at and think, I need these words. I need peace. I need purpose. There's so many people in this world that have no purpose. I need the power of God. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need these things, and I need forgiveness, and I need to know how to walk in forgiveness and to give out forgiveness and to walk not in condemnation but in absolute total reception of the people that are in my lives and beyond. These are four words that as I've been just meditating on them over the last few weeks of thinking, man, this word's for Fritcher. This word's for Mike. I need these things. And so do you. We need the peace of God. Amen? Isn't that the whole point of the gospel? Isn't that the whole point of Jesus coming? We need this peace. I mean, it's right there in the red letters. He says it twice, peace be with you. And then again, peace be with you. This is not just some kind of greeting, although he is greeting them. I want you to notice something about this. They're walking in fear right now. It's resurrected day. Jesus has died. Mary Magdalene has seen Jesus. They've seen the empty tomb. They've seen the linen wrappings. And they're shut up in this room and they are scared to death. They're frightened. Have you ever been fearful? You know when fear gets on you? You know, it might not be just that you're threatened by somebody, but it might be a fear of a diagnosis, right? Some of you have had to go to the doctor for diagnosis and you walk in fear. Maybe it's a conflict. Maybe that you've been in danger. I don't know, but you know, fear is something that just gets on you, and all of a sudden it brings stress, and it brings anxiety, and it brings sleeplessness. It just brings flat-out exhaustion. I get exhausted fearing things, right? Fearing things that generally don't ever happen, right? How many of you have feared something all your life, and man, it just never happened to you, but you still fear it? Anybody? Yeah, I do. So many fears, so many false assumptions, so many false threats of loss. And yet, when we look at our lives, we look at all those things that we feared that really never ever came, and we waste it. Sometimes minutes, sometimes hours, sometimes days, sometimes weeks, sometimes years, worrying about something that hadn't happened and probably won't happen. And if it does, we have this great God who offers us the peace that surpasses all understanding. These guys are scared. They are frightened. They think they're next. They think their Jews are coming after them. They've seen the crucifixion. They know what crucifixion looks like. They've seen the battered body. Listen, they're scared and frightened. And what does Jesus come to do? He comes right into that room and he says, peace be with you. Now, that's a word of life. That's a word of life that he spoke over fearful disciples. Now, I know that there's sometimes that Jesus would rebuke them. Remember that? Say, well, why are you unbelieving? But he doesn't do that this time, does he? Man, I think this is so critical. I think this is so important that Jesus just comes in and just says, hey, I'm going to give you my peace. And he says, hey, look at my hands. Look at my side. And you know, in one moment, they went from fear to rejoicing. And from rejoicing, there was no more fear here. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm walking in fear, I'm not rejoicing. Are you rejoicing? I'm not rejoicing. I can't find a place, oftentimes, to really rejoice when I've got this fear on me. But they move. They move from fear. They move to faith. They move to rejoicing in the presence of our great God. Peace be with you. You know, I look at this passage and I think, man, Lord, you said it. You said it in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and nor let it be fearful. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, or you do have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. What is this peace? What is this biblical peace? Well, it's from a primary word that means to join together. It's used of God coming together and being one with you. And it means to be joined together. But it also is translated as being one or having peace, or there's a quietness or a rest. And commentators say by implication that this peace is also the prosperity of the soul. And when you have peace, the shalom of God, that you have this prosperity of the soul. There's one really fancy definition. You know I don't usually do this, but I just love the way this author said this. He said, it's the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And it's a deep, settled confidence in God, and therefore that person is content with her or his earthly lot of whatever sort that is. so content. I'm so at peace with my salvation and my God that all these other things that are going on in my life, I have this sweet contentment. Now, I would tell you this. Peace is not simply just the absence of conflict, okay? Because I want to tell you there's a lot of times that we're going to have tribulation. That's what he said, right? You're going to have tribulation. So peace is not the absence of conflict. I think that most of us know that life is filled with conflict, right? It's filled with death. It's filled with uncertainty. It's filled with those kinds of things that can rob us of peace. So it's not the absence of conflict. What I want to say, though, it's the absence of conflict in the soul. That's what it is. In other words, out here, it's hurting, it's struggling, but in here, God has come and has placed this tranquility and this quietness and this rest in my heart and in my soul. Now, I know that there's some of us in here who've experienced that in the midst of horrible circumstances where God just came along and spoke that peace. You might not have heard it audibly, but he spoke that peace. And in one moment, you were fretting, and the next moment, you were like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's where God takes that chaos and uses it for his glory and his honor. And he begins it in the very soul of your being, the very heart and mind. Why? Because we're trusting our God. We're trusting in him. When I look at the word peace, I see this opposite effect going on. It's chaos. It's anxiety. It's worrisome. It's fear. There's the absence of calm in my heart and in my life. And you know, I want to say this because I believe that every one of us who are in Christ has this peace. And we're able to go to people in conflict and struggle and bring peace to their soul. You have that kind of authority today to bring peace. There's this power and this authority that you can speak peace into people's lives. By being able to say, in Christ, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You're in his hand. And as you pray and as you speak, you can be Jesus as Jesus was to those disciples, to anybody else in this world. But the question remains, do you have peace today? Do you have that peace? There's three aspects of peace that I want to talk about here for just a few minutes. The first aspect is peace with God. Peace with God. Go to Romans chapter 5, if you would. We mentioned this passage last week in our Easter message. But look at chapter 5, and we're going to look just at a couple of verses here in just a moment. You have this peace with God. But I want to tell you, there's some folks that I know of that just think they can't find the peace with God. So they run to this place and they run to that place. They run to this work. They run to this act. And they're running and running and running and trying through human effort to find this peace. And it only comes from him. It only comes through faith. We're justified. Declared righteous, declared holy, made righteous by our faith, believing these wonderful promises that God has given to us. And I think what I want to ask you today is, do you have this peace with God? Or is your life just full of shame and guilt over past things over years and years ago? And that you just can't seem to find the peace, and you just can't seem to find the victory, and you just can't seem to find the holiness. You just can't seem to find those things. Peace with God brings that. When we see verses like God pouring out his love in our lives, poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit in verse 5. And while he died for us and has loved us so much, in verse 8, he demonstrates his love toward us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We've been justified by his blood. Now we'll be saved from the wrath of God through him. And once we were enemies, but now we are reconciled to him. You're made at one again. You are one with God. Peace. Peace with God. Do you have that today? That's the first aspect. Peace with God. The second aspect is peace with one another. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of the promises, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace. who made both groups into one, and he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, and he abolished in his flesh the enmity which the law of commandments, consistence, and ordinances, so that he himself might make the two into one new man, establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Two groups into one. Very symbolic of Gentiles and Jews coming as one under the banner of Christ, having nailed the enmity. Listen, the law brings death because you can't keep the law. But Jesus did. And when he hung on that cross, he took away the enmity between you and God. And guess what he did? He did it not only just for the individual, he did it for the group, the community. And he made us one. Now, I know that this might be a little difficult for some of us, but I want to tell you this. If he can take nations and make them one under Christ, don't you think he could do that for your marriage today? If he could do that between Gentiles and Jews and make them one, and make them walk in fellowship, don't you think he could do that with you and your children? Don't you think he could do that with you and other folks that are called themselves Christians and believers, the people that you work with, the people that you work for? Don't you think that God could do that, that we could have peace with one another? Yes! I mean, the very act of the cross was bringing people together, bringing us. And therefore, he is our peace. He's made the two opposing groups into one. He came and he preached peace to you who are far away and to you who are near. We have this peace of God in our lives to share with one another. And so you have scriptures like Hebrews 10:14 that says, pursue peace with all men. Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Romans 14:19, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Ephesians 4:3 says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You and I have responsibility today as peacemakers. Reconcilers, sharing faith with people who do not know Christ, but also coming into people's lives and, yeah, bringing the counsel of the Spirit and the counsel of the Word to bring peace where there's conflict, peace where there's chaos. It's the whole thought of discipleship. It's the whole thought of community together. Listen, how many of you in this place know somebody and they're just, their life is full of chaos, full of worry, full of anxiety, full of stress? You say, I know that person. It's me. I'm the one you're talking about. I've got the pit in my stomach. I've got the anxiety about certain things. I've got anxiety about the future. I've got these things in my life. Well, guess what? If you're a believer in Christ, you have peace with God. And I don't care how you feel. You can feel rotten today. But the great promise of God is that we have His peace. Now, if you're walking in some rebellion today, and you're walking in sin, and you're walking secretly in secret life, man, I'm just going to tell you, don't expect to have the calm of God in your life. Don't expect that. But I'll tell you, if you're a believer in Christ, peace with God. Fellowship may be broken, but if you're a believer in Christ, you have this peace available to you this day. You walking in it today. Are you walking it with those people that you love? That there's peace that comes forth from your life. And you know, I realize that you can pursue peace with all men and they don't want anything to do with it. But as far as it depends on you, you make sure you're at peace with God and at peace with one another. Let me ask you, is a Christian person in your life, family member in your life, that you're separated from? What are the steps that you've taken to bring peace to the situation? To be a part of the reconciling power of God. Peace with God, peace with one another. And there's a third aspect, and that's just peace of mind and peace of heart. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4. You know, I think that this is a place that most of us find ourselves. We began talking about it earlier in the message. And you know, here are disciples who are just scared to death. don't have peace, and Jesus appears and speaks, and all of a sudden they have peace, they're rejoicing. I want you to see what God says about peace of mind. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Or I know there's another translation that says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. But you don't understand, Pastor. I've got some things going that are just overwhelming me. So have I. I have. Not this moment, but I have. All of us have. But he's saying in this passage of Scripture, and because he's saying it, you have the power to be anxious for nothing. What does he say the cure is? What does he say is the remedy? He says prayer is. Thanksgiving is. Letting your requests be made known to God. Telling other people about what you're struggling through. There's some community here. When you're to let other people know that these things are going on in your life. He says, listen, do these things and you'll find this peace of God. And guess what? The situation may not change. The circumstance might not change. But guess what? The peace of God that surpasses all this understanding. You know what that means? Man, I've got peace and I don't understand why I have peace. I shouldn't have peace. People think I'm crazy because I had this peace in my life. That's having peace that surpasses all understanding. Where it doesn't make sense. That's where I want to live. And I know that's where you want to live. Where it doesn't make sense that I have this peace. Why? Because when it doesn't make sense that I have peace, it's from God. It's the peace of God. And that's what he's saying here. He said, listen, don't be anxious. But instead you pray about everything. You rejoice always. I love what he says here. And I'm going to stop here for just a moment because I think thanksgiving is so important here. And I want to tell you, this whole thought of thanksgiving is truly changing my heart, changing my life. And I just want to agree with God that, listen, everything that's happening in my life, God's aware of. Everything he's aware of. And he's working it out for his good pleasure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, thank God always, because this is God's will for your life. And I got to tell you, I thank God for some things that just don't make sense thanking God for. It just doesn't make sense. Matter of fact, it's almost embarrassing. You thank God for that? And I know there's a danger here thinking God does this and God does that and God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. But that's not the point. The point is I want to thank God for everything. I really, really want to thank him for everything. If I'm in pain, if I'm hurting, if I'm struggling in my mind, in my heart, if I'm walking in fear, I want to thank God for those things. Because you know what I've been finding? I've been finding that supernatural things are happening for those who will thank God for everything. Seeing circumstances change before my eyes that seems so impossible. And then to have the peace, to default to thanksgiving and see peace, even if the circumstance doesn't seem to be changing, that's the miracle. My heart, my soul, peace with God, peace with others, peace within myself. Peace guarding my mind. My mind needs guarding. Your mind needs guarding. Because in a moment, our mind could go to places that they don't need to be going. And they're running off and it's running fast, thinking things we don't need to think. Assuming things we don't need to assume. Believing things we don't need to believe. Fearing things we don't need to fear. Worrying about things that we don't need to worry about. Thanksgiving. So I want you to see this passage for just a moment again, and I just want to walk you through it. You've got something going on in your life. You're hurting, you're struggling, and you don't have peace. So what are you going to do? You're going to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I don't know how you do that. And sometimes I don't know how to do that, just to be honest with you. And it's just simply for me, it's just, Lord, I just praise you. I praise you right now. I rejoice in you, your salvation, and everything that you're about. And Lord, this circumstance is hurting, it's struggling, and I'm tied up with things in my heart, in my mind, but you know what? I'm just going to rejoice. And then I'm going to let my forbearing spirit known. I'm going to find somebody to tell him about it. And I find a couple of people that I begin to share with. And then the third thing is I want to believe that God's near. God's at hand. He's in the middle of it. He's right here. And I want to find His presence. I want to find that joy in His presence. I want to find Him because He is enough. And then I'm going to make the decision. I'm not going to be anxious about this. But God, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to supplicate. I'm going to pray for others about it. And then I'm just going to give you thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. And then you know what He says? The peace of God surpasses all comprehension. It guards your hearts. It doesn't take your heart to a place it doesn't need to be. And it guards your mind. It allows so your mind doesn't go to places where it doesn't need to be in Christ Jesus. I remember years ago, I was anxious. Don't remember what it was about. But I'd put this verse of Scripture to memory and I just memorized it and I was quoting 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 it. And then finally I said, I can't find peace in this. I can't find peace. And it was just like God just came along and just, you know, just kind of tapped me on the back and said, quit quoting it and do it. Quit quoting the verse and start doing it by the power of the Spirit. And you know, that's so refreshing. Because we can quote the Scripture. The question is we'll walk in agreement with God to see it accomplished in our lives. Do you know what this Bible says here? That the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He'll guard it. He'll set posts around it. I mean, He will protect your heart. He will protect your mind. This is the promise of God. Peace within. Now, you know, I look at scriptures like 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He says, may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you all. May the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. You know, there's often times that we don't know what to do. But here are some things that God tells us that we can do when we are walking in chaos and anxiety and in stress. Now, what I want you to do right now is I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? And I guess the thing that I want to ask is, what burden have you brought to this place today? What burden? If you look back over your week, has there been some stress points, anxiety, uncertainty? And you have found distress and you have found conflict in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. Maybe you're here today and you don't have peace with God. But I want to say this. Jesus is your peace. And just maybe this morning, you need to lay it down. You need to lay the burden down and receive the peace of God. You might need to come forward and say, God, I'm just laying this down today, and I want to choose by the power of the Spirit to strengthen myself in You. By deciding by Your power, I won't be anxious, but through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, I'll make this request made to go to God, and I'll receive the peace that surpasses all understanding. Do you need peace today? I don't know what stress points you've experienced, but I know in general terms what they could be. It could be a relationship problem. It can be a money problem. It could be a decision, a career decision. It can be a health issue. And you don't have that peace today. And I want to tell you, peace is available for you this day.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on